Good morning.
Good morning.
And I'm not really sure, I don't think saying happy Memorial Day, that doesn't sound quite right. I'm not sure what to say, but I hope we make the most of this weekend. And if you do all the research, it's a great time to barbecue or to buy a mattress. But what I'd like us to do is, I'd like you to stand with me, and I'd like for us to take a moment and remember that the freedoms that we have to barbecue and buy mattresses came at great expense. And I don't think that it's not to make the holiday a downer, but I think if we're not careful, we miss some of these things that are really important for us. So if you pray with me, God, we most of us are glad to have a time off from school or work, but it would be it would be so short-sighted if we didn't remember that this holiday was brought about because of so many lives that have been given so that we would have the freedoms that we do and we would have the security that we live in. For the families of those that have lost loved ones, God, we ask that you would continue to give them comfort and courage to face life. For those of us that can easily take it for granted, open our eyes to remember that freedom is never free. We want to pray for those that make the decisions about going into battle or war to protect, that they would be wise, that they would be discerning, that they would not bow to political pressure, but would be driven by what is right, what is real, what is important. And God, help us to be aware enough that we would be careful when we look at the freedoms we have, that we wouldn't misuse them. Thank you again for the country we have. Thank you for the privileges we enjoy. Help them to use as well. Amen. You can have a seat. There are 42 million Americans traveling this weekend. This is the biggest travel weekend since COVID. So if you're one of those, and those that are watching us online, be careful. I was reading an article in the Wall Street Journal this week. Some of you know who Joe Lieberman was. He was a senator. He's retired now, a senator from Connecticut from 89 to 2013. And he wrote this article. I'm going to read part of it. He's Jewish. And what he says, this is excerpts from, he says, the Jewish festival of Shavuot, which celebrates God's giving of the Ten Commandments, which is our series, began, it was last Thursday, it ended last night. And what he's saying here is that this rule of law that the Ten Commandments give us have impacted democracies around the world. And he thought this is a perfect time to celebrate the implementation of that. He goes on to a few things related to our country right now of where there's lawlessness. I'll leave that out, but he goes on to say in an article, he says, the Bible shows how destructive lawless tendencies are. For centuries after creation, humans proved time and time again why they needed God's divine rules of conduct. Humanity continued to stray. Later on, Abraham, who was the father to both Christians, Muslims, and Jews, and his descendants, would work at keeping the way of God, doing charity and justice. He said, after the liberation of Israelites from slavery in Egypt, God led them to Sinai to receive these Ten Commandments, a system of laws that immediately and for millennia have governed and elevated human behavior and protected security and freedom. We need to remind ourselves that even when we disagree with each other, that God loved us enough to give us some guidelines for how we relate to Him and to each other. And these are, they're really important. And they're not just to be relics from the past. As we're looking in this series, the first four of the Ten Commandments relate directly to how we approach God, how our relationship with God should be. carried out. And then the last six have to do with how we relate to each other. Last week, Brandon Pendleton, he did a phenomenal job looking at the one that says, you shall not murder. And if you missed it, I hope you will watch it or listen to it online, because it's not just the act of murder, but it's what builds up to that, and that is anger that's not been channeled properly, anger that gets us in big trouble. And today we're looking at another one of these that is really, really timely. And getting a handle on this one, it's going to impact you and me, it's going to impact our families, the community we live in, our nation, and the whole world. And simply put, it's this: you must not testify falsely against your neighbor. The idea here is don't lie. Tell the truth. Tell the truth to each other. Tell the truth about yourself. Tell the truth about each other. Sounds really simple, but it's rare. I'll give you an example. This happened about 5 years ago here at New Hope. I got a call. I'm just going to make up the name. A gal named Sally calls me. And she said, I need to talk. Someone on your staff has been spreading rumors about me. My initial response inside was, well, surely no one on our staff would ever do that, which is not helpful. I'll defend our staff any day, but that doesn't mean that we're perfect or we never mess up. And when something like this happens, you investigate it. And I appreciated her calling, so we set up a meeting. It was me, this other staff person, and Sally. And there may have been someone else in the meeting, I don't remember, but I know the three of us were there. Sally came in and she said, a friend of mine told me, and she pointed to this staff person, that this person said such and such about me, and it really bothered me, and it was unfair and wrong. I looked at that staff person, and I said, what do you say? And he said, I never said it. Now we've got a problem. What do you do? Draw straws to find out what's happening? It was pretty tense, to say the least. Said, can you tell us about this person that told you that my staff person had done this? And we heard about that person and said, well, the only way I can figure out to handle this is, how about if we call that person right now? Sally said, sure. So called that person. That person was two states away, South Carolina. She answered the phone because she saw it was coming from Sally. And Sally said, you're on speakerphone. I'm addressing this issue you told me about. When you said, the staff person said this about me, and the next thing you hear is, oh, I never said that. Now we've got even a bigger problem. It could be that all of us are lying. But there's possibly some truth somewhere here, and we got to figure out what it is. That person that's called in South Carolina says, I never said it. Sally, who called the meeting because she had heard this person, you know, it's a mess. It's a real mess. And the thing about it is, there's all kind of distrust now that's been created. Because relationships cannot thrive where there isn't trust. And you're not going to have trust when you don't have honesty. It's very simple. I'm going to give you a few definitions. The first one is truth. And we use this word all the time. You know, my truth, your truth, all kind of truth floating around. If you look up the word truth, this is what it means. What is factual and conforms to reality. Now, we can have differences, but at some point, something's true. In that meeting with the three of us in the fourth, since someone's on the phone, something's not true here. What are we going to do about it? And lies and lying destroy that. Listen to what it says in Ephesians 4. It says, so stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. This is written to a church. Lying to each other is like spreading cancer. It affects the whole body. And where there's distrust, you're going to have factions, you're going to have brokenness. It's ugly and it's hideous. And it goes on, I think this is interesting. It says, and don't sin by letting anger control you. I'm wondering how many times lies are told out of anger or revenge. Don't let the sun go down on you while you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. Lying and anger are tools an enemy will use to create all kind of brokenness. Lies destroy, and the truth builds. That doesn't mean that the truth always feels good. Sometimes lies feel very good in the moment. The problem is long term. What it builds is something really unhealthy. I did a couple of surveys, and you might find some of this interesting. There's a list of the top 20 most common lies. I picked three of them. One of them is, I forgot. So if you're thinking about saying this after the service, don't say that. How about, I am listening. I've been maybe caught doing that once or twice. Here's another one. I got stuck in traffic. I did this not long ago. I was meeting with someone. I was late for the meeting. And I said, well, traffic. And usually you feel like I'm going to get a pass because the traffic around here is horrible. Here's the problem. I know the traffic's horrible. I could have left earlier. I can blame the traffic, but the truth is I need to say I mismanaged my time. But traffic sounds better, doesn't it? I don't like saying I blew it because I don't want you to think I blow it. It's even worse, though, because I'm looking at this couple and I had to say, you know what, I need to ask your forgiveness. I didn't say a lie. I just didn't tell you the truth. Psychology Today did some research on this about why we lie. And here's just a handful of them. One is to avoid being judged or to feel shame. We're doing it to make ourselves look better in the eyes of other people. Another is just to avoid punishment. We want to get out of trouble. How many times have I lied? You lie, if I lie, it'll pass. Sometimes to protect ourselves from retaliation. Some of you have friends that you will not tell the truth to because you know that friendship is always on the line. You tell them the truth, you're really honest, and they're gone. Sometimes we tell lies to present ourselves in a positive way or to impress others. Well, I'm just exaggerating. I know my resume wasn't exactly truthful. No, your resume was a lie. But you wanted to look better. You wanted to be impressive. Sometimes we lie because we want to experience pleasure, and we kind of don't mind deceiving others. This was, for me, a big part of my life. I loved the power of convincing people things that I knew weren't true, but I had them. I owned them. Sometimes we lie to keep personal information secret. Between services, I had several people say, how are you doing? My thought bubble had a lot of things going on in my thought bubble. And one person, I said, well, you know, I've got several things going on. I said, do you feel overwhelmed? Well, no. Can you feel whelmed? Is whelmed like you're at the top? Overwhelmed is when it's going over. I've never heard of it before, but I did tell him I felt whelmed. And apparently that worked. There are sometimes we lie because we're trying to spare somebody else's feelings. And as altruistic as that may sound, it still ruins trust. In Sally's situation, I don't believe she was ever going to trust that friend anytime soon. Who knows why? I believe, based on what I could tell, I think the friend had gossiped, which led Sally to this meeting, which she would not have done if she'd known. The friend may have done it trying to get in good with Sally. Could have been the friend had some kind of agenda against my staff person. Again, I don't know the whole story, but you can imagine there are reasons that we don't tell the truth. Harm was done either way, because now there's this distrust. And for Sally, she was embarrassed. And I tried to reassure her, you did the right thing in trying to investigate this. I'm sorry that it turned out this way, but I have a higher view of you now because you took this step. And truth is really, really important. I want to give you two more words and define them that tie into this. One of them is gossip. Gossip is when we tell secret things about others, whether they're true or not true. You're sharing with others something that should not be shared outside of that particular circle. The guideline here, Proverbs 20 says, a gossip goes around telling secrets, so don't hang around with chatterers. And it's funny, the word chatter, the word gossip, it's a funny word. It sounds like what it is. Oh, I want to tell you something about it. I want to tell you something about Shane. I want to tell you something about Becky. I want to tell you something about Dan. We're kind of whispering. And as soon as you start whispering, people, I want to hear. We love it. Gossip is one of those things that we just, I can't wait to hear it. So I can pray. The more negative the info, the better. Because it makes me feel good about me. Because I realize they're not as good as me. It's so tempting to feel better about ourselves at someone else's expense. Here's the rule on gossip. If you know something about somebody or suspect something about somebody, don't tell anybody except that person. Unless you feel like that you can help and you're going to someone for wisdom to ask them, how should I respond to this? And most of you are thinking, that ruins the whole deal. Where's the fun in that? Gossip is just lousy. And we're all tempted with it. Most of our TV, we lose a lot of it. Let me put it there. We lose a lot if gossip were illegal. So just a couple of free things related to gossip. If someone will gossip to you, make no mistake, they'll gossip about you. So be careful. And if someone's getting ready to gossip to you, this is how they usually start. Well, I probably shouldn't say this, but... And this is such good advice. Do this. Let me stop you right now. Don't say any more. That helped you, and it also helps the other person. Gossip is just, it is so dangerous. And then it's got a cousin, and that's the word slander. Slander is when you broadcast gossip to a larger group. Gossip is usually kind of quiet. I'm just going to talk to you about this. Slander is when you advertise it to get as broad an audience as you possibly can. There's a passage in the New Testament that sounds like it could have been written this morning. 2 Timothy, it says, in the last days there will be very difficult times, for people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. Act religious, but not living the kind of life God's called us to live. I'll wear the T-shirt, have the bumper sticker, maybe wear a necklace with a cross on it. But when you examine how I live and how I use my words, it's ungodly. God has called us to be people who are truthful and loving, always, no exception. If I had the capacity and I could snap my fingers and all of us would have tattooed on the inside of our eyelids, I would have this reference in these two words. It'd be Ephesians 4:15. Speak the truth in love. The whole passage says, instead we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. Jesus wants you and I to be people that speak the truth in love. Truth is really important, but love is too. Truth without love is cruel. It can be mean-spirited. It can be harsh. Some of you remember some true things that may have been said to you, but they weren't loving. And you've got the scars to prove it. Some of us, in the name of truth, blurt out things indiscriminately. Almost, it's cathartic for us but it's a train wreck for everybody around us. That is not what the Bible teaches. Truth, yes. But the truth needs to be governed by love. And love without truth is horrible. It's just like eating it's like donuts all the time. Donuts are fine. But if you don't have any protein, if you don't have the other substantial kind of things, it's deadly. So I need to have truth and love. These are like tracks that we run on. It's like guardrails or tracks that the metro's on. Truth with love is a great protection for us. So I thought of an illustration. And Becky and I, when we go camping, we go to campgrounds and we don't always know the water we're getting. So we bought this Brita water filter. And you know, you pop the top, you pour the water in, and then you filter it. The problem with it is it just takes a long time. If I want to make coffee in the morning and I didn't get this out earlier, it just takes forever to make coffee. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm sure they don't have any infections here. So I'll just, no, that doesn't make sense, does it? You want to filter it. What you do, the idea here is take whatever's in your thought bubble, big eye, all that kind of stuff, pour it in and filter it through truth and love. Now, what this is going to mean is some of us are just not going to say much, especially as we're getting used to it. Wow, that seems like a lot of work. But we've been called to live this way. What comes out of my mouth should be informed by truth and love. And if it doesn't pass that, it needs to stay in the filter. If it doesn't, I'm going to cause harm. So I'm going to give a few examples here. One is, I gave a minute ago, is that how are you doing? And most of us will say something like, fine. Some of us don't do that. What we do is we see that as an invitation to dump everything. And an hour later, the person that you talk to, they're just completely worn out because you dumped all this stuff. Fine isn't necessarily true, but all that other stuff, who wants that? I had a friend of ours that used to say, a lot of times he'd say, well, I'm winning some and losing some. That's pretty true. Every once in a while, someone might say, well, tell me about that. Most people don't. They're like, oh, good. And then they walk off. But how are you doing? Or tell me what's going on with you. And then actually mean it. Feedback from a performance. The person I trust the most about this is my wife, Becky. Saturdays, it used to be when the Saturday service, she would come and she would give me honest feedback. How do I know it was honest feedback? Because I didn't like a lot of it. Sometimes I'd be offended. I'd say, well, I don't want to hear that. Say I did a great job. But she loves me enough, and she loves what we do enough that she would say, you know, I thought you did really well, and then she'd pull out her sheet of paper. And she'd say, you know, I really don't think you explained that illustration very well. I mean, she's this, if you look up sweet and kind in Webster's, there's her picture right there. But she loves me too much not to speak the truth. If she says I did a good job, I probably did okay. But if she says, here's something that would improve it, I need to really listen to that. We need people like that in our lives, don't we? Some of us surround ourselves by yes people because it makes us feel good. The problem is that their yes doesn't necessarily mean anything. If you don't have some friends around you that occasionally have said some things that bothered you, you're probably not getting honest feedback. School, work, find some people that will shoot straight with you and let them. Choose not to get offended if they say something that bothers you, but listen. That doesn't mean they're always right. But the truth in love is not designed to make me feel good. It's designed to make me be good and to be better than I would be otherwise. And then references. I've heard it said many times that a job description and a resume are two sets of lies trying to find common ground. References are that they're even worse. I had someone call me one time, wanted to know a reference for someone for a position at a church. And she goes, and by the way, I only want to hear the good stuff. I've already made up my mind. What a terrible member of the investigation team. They don't want to know the truth. They want to know what fits their agenda. Some of us do that. Creating a genuinely honest atmosphere takes work. And if we're not careful, what we do is we settle for something that's less than real. And it has serious consequences. So I want to give you four quick things, benefits of being truthful. The first thing about being truthful is you can build a real friendship with God. God loves the truth. He is a God of truth. Listen to what it says here in Psalm 15. Who may worship in your sanctuary, Lord? Who may enter your presence on your holy hill? Those who lead blameless lives and do what is right, speaking the truth from sincere hearts. Those who refuse to gossip or harm their neighbors or speak evil of their friends. This is what God wants because that honors Him. And when I treat others and I speak to them and I use truth and love as my guide, I'm showing respect for those that God has created in His image. Am I perfect? Of course not. When we blow it, though, we admit it to God. There are times when you have to admit it to someone else and say, I was wrong when I said that. Would you forgive me? And then move forward. But this friendship with God thing, the truth needs to be something we pursue without stopping. The second thing is peace. Peace is this kind of internal freedom and confidence we have, knowing that we're in the right place. It doesn't mean our circumstances are good. It doesn't mean our situation is going to get better because we've told the truth. It just means that internally I can have confidence and peace because I'm right with my Heavenly Father. It says in Philippians 4, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything you can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Sometimes telling the truth is going to get me in trouble. Some of you have lost out on promotions because you were honest in your workplace. Some of you have lost friendships because you decided to tell the truth. But I'm going to tell you, God will never bail on you when you pursue speaking the truth in love. And we can handle any circumstance that comes our way, and God will provide for us well when we stand up rightly. Some of us here are missing this peace and freedom. Fear, you don't know the circumstance I'm in. If I really tell the truth, it can lead to all kinds of things that we have trouble with. And this third benefit of telling the truth and being a truthful person is having a clear conscience. It kind of ties in well with peace. It's why learning and knowing what God says is honest and real and good, understanding what the Bible teaches and aligning myself with that, it can lead to this clear conscience, this I don't have that inner turmoil now. Paul said to Timothy, he said, the purpose of my instruction is that all believers would be filled with love that comes from a pure heart, a clear conscience, and a genuine faith. Paul said later, he said, because of this, I always try to maintain a clear conscience before God and all people. I didn't have a clear conscience for many years. I was a liar. I lied when I didn't need to. I remember as a second or third grader lying to my dad. And when I did it, even though I got caught, it felt so powerful to lie to him and to feel like I was strong. I would lie to get out of trouble. I would lie to get other people in trouble. I would lie when I didn't need to because I liked having the power over others. I could get you to believe something that wasn't true and I felt like I own you now. It was my way of life. I was also lying because I was afraid if people really knew what I was like, they wouldn't have anything to do with me. So I'd create my own persona through lying. And there came a point where I had just literally killed my conscience. It didn't bother me anymore. And thank God, not that I found him, but that he found me. And one of the things that happened not long after I became a follower of Christ is that I realized I started having a conscience that was becoming alive. That I was aware that it was like the Holy Spirit would remind me, you know, you're getting ready to get on some old territory that you've been rescued from. Stay away from that. And to have that a clear conscience, there is nothing like it. Some of us have missed on that. Thank God that he can restore one that's broken. Exodus 20, this is our verse. You must not testify falsely against your neighbor. If we're going to have strong, real relationships, we need to take this seriously, because one of the benefits of being truthful is that we can have real, true relationships with people around us. No pretending, no faking, no dancing around the truth. No wondering, am I going to get caught in this? What did I say over here? Romans 12, don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. One of the things that I regularly ask someone that comes back to New Hope the second time, I say, why did you come back? And I've heard this many times. People say, this just feels like a place that's real and honest, where people seem to be genuine. It's not, you're not pretending, you're not faking to be a certain way. It's a safe place to be yourself. I hope that is true. I think it is. But there's never a set it and forget it for this. It's always in real time. Am I being honest? Am I being genuine? Am I being truthful? We are not perfect. And God gets that. But living open and honest lives with each other honors him. And he will come alongside and do something with that. And especially in the culture we live in now, the world really needs to see this. Not a fake version, but the real thing. Let's pray together. God, you know us all the way through. You know how fast and loose we play with the truth, how often we shade things to suit our own advantage. And you get it, and you're never fooled by it, but I ask that you would instill in those of us that know you, that you would energize us toward being people that are governed by speaking the truth in love, living it, not faking. Help our words to be words that you would endorse and you would appreciate. Help the way we relate to each other to reflect grace and goodness and also truth. I pray that individually and collectively we'll be a church that honors you in this. And for anyone here that doesn't yet know you, I pray that they would realize that you do get us completely. And there's nothing that we can hide from you. And you still want a relationship with us. You still pursue us. We have to make the choice. But you're knocking at the door. Speak to us. Help us to not let this commandment slip away. In Christ's name, amen.